Welcome to Games on Earth, episode 267 for Friday, March 5th, 2021. I'm your host, Derek Thompson. With me, as always, we have Jesse Brown.
Here I am. It's me.
And Bradley Bichino.
Hey, how did I get here?
Well, that's a secret that only Jesse knows, because I don't know either. We need to figure out a way to get through a spell. Jesse pulls us in here.
Mm-hmm. Every Thursday, I pull you guys in here, and against your will, Derek was actually just being raided by furlings in his base, Valheim, and I summoned him. I said, and it pulled him and Brad right in here, same time.
Was that a console command? Are you admin?
I am. What I do is what happens is fucking binary code just scrolls across my eyeballs. It goes horizontally, though, not vertically, like in the Matrix.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
You have access to the admin commands for real life?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. So,
do you ever try NoClip on? I've done it for myself. That's what I'm saying. You guys should just be happy I haven't done, like, big head mode or slappers only.
Oh,
like, there's a whole lot of shit
I can't imagine that my normal body heart would be able to pump blood into such a big head.
But it's all part of the console commands. So
wouldn't I just faint?
No. So it fully adjusts everything. So as
so
I do
the
console.
So it ruins my blood pressure.
It puts your body into stasis. So if you're doing poorly, it's like not. It puts your body into stasis in the sense that you're not going to die or become like, oh man, I had high blood pressure, now I've got this enormous head, and I'm going to faint immediately because my body can't handle it. It's like picture your video game character. How many video game characters just die of a heart attack in the middle of the video game?
Well, I'm not saying during the action. I'm saying post big headedness.
No,
when I go back to normal.
It's like a save point. So before I enter the console command,
Well, if that's the case, what about our meat from our extra big heads? Can we just shave a bit off? Big head.
Yeah.
And then just have that extra meat?
Need
to start producing this infinite meat.
Well, that's the thing. The meat disappears.
So, like, big head. I'm assuming it's just like different user privileges. So like you get, if you're get changed back to your normal self, then I imagine you just lose those privileges. So
the meat disappears.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like I've tried it myself. Like I said, I only do the,
can you just spawn meat?
I can. Yeah. But,
Then we'll just spawn some meat and start selling meat.
But that's the thing; it's binary meat, so it's no nutritional value.
Oh, fuck!
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll sell it as like a vegan option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I'll do. I'll sell it as a vegan option. You lose weight while you eat. Because there is no...
The first food, you lose weight while eating.
But the other thing is, it's like celery. Celery has basically no nutritional value. So all the food I generate, as good as it looks, it all tastes like celery. It's just like
water. It makes your number twos just smell terrible.
Exactly.
You do not want to eat that digital meat.
It gives you a real strong case of the soup
404s?
Soup butt.
No, just soup butt. Nothing digital,
nothing
weird.
Digital
just
gives you soup
really
butt.
Bad soupy butt times.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking a hearty kind of soup. I'm talking more of a clam chowder. It's more, you know.
You want to talk about a soup butt?
It's not.
Let's talk
Campbell's
about
chunky. Okay.
What are you okay? So you're saying it's just like the basic Campbell's?
It's clam chowder.
This is a podcast about games, video games, particularly this week, more Valheim Amazing Time. And
that is
some
true.
Off-world adventures on in a new planet in the Outriders demo. I forgot the name of the game there. I was just trying to stall for time.
I keep thinking it's called Outsiders.
I
wish it was called Outsiders. That's
Rampagers.
How impressionable the game was. Derek couldn't even remember the game after playing it yesterday.
Fuck.
He played it yesterday in its entirety.
I played it today a little bit too.
So you still forgot it. You played it today and couldn't remember the name.
Outriders demo
just
released.
I don't want to jump into it.
You don't?
No, I want. I would rather talk about Valheim first. Or if you want to save Valheim for the end, that's fine. Whatever you guys want to do.
Let me hear about Outriders.
Outriders is a up to 4-player co-op action shooter looter schluter in the style of Diablo or Remnant from the Ashes or Godfall.
Yeah, it's very Diablo. I got a lot of Godfall.
Got a lot of Godfall vibes playing it in a good way. In the way that I was like, those initial vibes of like, this could be really fun. This is great. I wonder how big and expansive this gets.
Mm-hmm.
This could be really cool if this is only a sliver of what the game has to share. And if they clean up a lot of the messy bits. But
that is true. It's just basically a demo, like though,
the whole first chunk of the game, it seems.
Yeah,
it is a demo, but it seems like it starts you off in the prelude to the actual game. You start off, you are... a colony ship heading out into space because Earth is fucked.
Yep.
And you awake from cryo freeze on the new planet. It's a lot like the show Raised by Wolves. But you awake on this new planet and everything's like, oh, idyllic and amazing. And then shit goes wild. And after like, you know, exploring a bit, and you're put back in cryo and like decades go by and you get back out and now it's a wasteland. It's a fucking future. It's a post-apocalypse in a new world within 30 years.
It is such an interesting start to the game. It is so wonderful. Because, like, even the base premise when they first start you off and they're like, and it's always funny, too, because it is just like any movie that you'd see nowadays where it's like, Earth is destroyed and we did it. like they make a point of saying that humanity ruined all of, like, human civilization.
So there's a lot of dialogue that's like, man, I hope we don't cover this place in plastic and pay asphalt just like we did the last. And it's like, of course they did. Like that would like some heavy foreshadowing happens in that first like intro chapter before the time skip. Everyone's like, oh, everything's gonna be so great.
Yeah.
The world's very colorful and pretty and nice looking and fun to be in.
That was like what excited me the most is when I was seeing this. I'm like, what a beautiful world to be a part of.
Yeah.
And then like 5 seconds later, welcome to hell.
So you get refrozen in this tutorial still. This is still like the very intro. So it's pretty jarring.
Yeah.
To like,
how much detail do we want to go into? I mean, cause it's like,
I need to mention Maxwell, the man from Final Fantasy.
Yeah. That part was
wandered into the wrong game.
That was fucking upsetting when I first saw him because, like, I mean, I don't even think games try to
just
pull
for context,
punches anymore.
We need context.
Yeah.
Real quick, he is a bad guy that you meet at the very beginning who's obviously a bad guy. He's like an evil administrator guy in the tutorial. And he walks out.
The problem is, it is so forced, it hurts. I mean, like the second you introduce him, he is the most unlikable character any video game has ever had. And you're already like, well, clearly this dude's the fucking villain. I mean, like,
zero redeeming qualities.
He may as well have been named fucking Villain McAsshole. Like,
and you beat him up in that intro, in the tutorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a very pretty start.
Like he's from Final Fantasy 15. He has a cape and fancy glasses.
He's got hentai
hentai
glasses in the sense that they...
I don't know what that means, but...
That means that they always have a light sheen on them, so you can never see his eyeballs unless he's looking from a specific angle.
Yeah, and he has a cape draped over his, like, tight-ass suit. And, like, he looks like an anime villain.
Yeah.
Which he basically is.
Yeah.
All that aside, I just want to make sure he's mentioned.
Yeah.
Because, you were right. You get into this world, and it's colorful and beautiful. Then you get... Shit goes down. Unleashing the anomaly.
Do you want to give all the details? Because I think it's even funnier. So, like, the one of the things that they point out is they made two of these, quote-unquote, arcs that they sent into space to, like, recolonize
planet
for humanity.
I actually kind
of
like this. This wrinkle.
You want to leave some mystery?
No. Oh. I just want to say, like, they say it in, like, it's in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And in this demo, it's talked about multiple times in the demo, but So basically, your colony ship that launched out was the second one, mm-hmm. like the backup one.
Yeah.
The first one with all the really good, cool people on it, with all the best and brightest, blew up mm-hmm. in on launch.
So that's how shitty it so is. Because not is only like is the it leftovers. Like, man, the Earth is dead. They're like, well, we got two ships off. And then 3 seconds later, they're like, well, only one of the ships survived. And they're like, well,
yeah.
none like, of the people we really cared exploded. About making it actually made
like,
it.
Not like missing in the warp like you'd think in a sci-fi thing where they'd like leave it as a seed for later stories. Nope.
They're just like, it just blew
blows
up
on launch.
Yeah.
Just explodes like SpaceX Challenger. Rocket. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they, not,
well, see that SpaceX rocket didn't have any people in it.
Yeah. But, well, then so the next part of the
also
story
was topical.
Is you're scouting because the second you land on the planet is it's like, man, we got to establish a base camp, and you start to immediately interfere with some shit that you shouldn't be doing with, and you're like, hey, we got to get out of here. This is not a good place to land. And Maxwell's like, too late. We already called it all in. And fuck you guys. I don't care what you think. It's good enough.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, you guys are the ones who
did this.
And then
beyond that, like, the thing that sets it off is you step on, like, one of the random-ass characters steps on some black, evil-looking goop.
Yeah, there's, like feral fluid all over
face.
This planet.
And he starts barfing up black goop shit.
Yeah,
that
seriously
sequence
looks like
was
feral
good.
Fluid. It looks like it's like a magnetized feral fluid. And
I feel like this game is such a weird hodgepodge of like that, like the sequence of driving back where the captain's like the guy who's like piloting this car just starts
Jacob
barfing black shit.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then,
there is some other no name character
the
who dies
guy,
immediately.
Yeah, the captain guy like just gets over and he's like trying to drive it, and it's like this really intense, cool scene that works with a shaky handycam.
Mm-hmm.
Every other scene does not work with a shaky handycam, but they seem to need
that
to use
true.
That.
It is weird
for
it's like
every
it's,
conversation.
It's shot in the way that it's like you're being videotaped by somebody for their fucking blog.
Yeah,
but
I don't understand the handycam. It's so distracting.
Yeah.
It's so terrible, especially just in dialogue shots of people talking. Constantly in motion. It's just
there
can
is
I,
no
can I
no.
just say I'm looking through this gameplay on Reddit and I can't tell the difference between this and Destiny 2. Like the
there's a lot of Destiny
person.
vibes, and the other thing is it's like Chris had said too, it is very much like the Mass Effect multiplayer, and it 100%
is it?
Now the big difference between
the Mass
Effect multiplayer is that was like wave based against like different enemies and stuff, whereas this is
it's like Gears of War arenas basically.
like this is like it's a way more open world, but it is definitely
it is open in the sense that you can go in any direction, any route,
but
the world itself is corridors.
Yeah.
Like
the
you look at the map, it's all split into like little corridors,
the weapon menus, the character inventories and stuff, like
oh totally 100%
Destiny.
Yeah,
and definitely like the as far as like item
hold down to interact.
Yeah, well, and
hold down the button to interact with everything just because that's the what Destiny did.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's kind of sucks.
Yeah,
like but the game itself
like
is
this,
not I don't know
I was,
keep going.
I was trying to get to a point earlier, but like there was like I was saying with the driving sequence, I feel like it's a hodgepodge of ups and downs. Like there'll be the corniest, cheesiest, worst dialogue and writing ever,
mm-hmm.
and then followed by a scene that's actually like, oh, that's actually pretty cool, and that's some good writing. Like I'm surprised that character has this much depth because I actually listened to them and talked to them. I'm surprised the models move, and the character models move and like interact with the space and do different shit in the area that you're chatting with them. So it's not just like a static conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's like Red Dead style. I love the little touches of all the side characters during cutscenes. Like no name non characters are talking and are people. And actually like every human in a space in the cutscenes mm-hmm. is a human that is a person and not just like soldier with mask on, not saying a word.
But I mean, there's still like, it's not like you can't interact with any of them. Can you?
No. I just mean during the cutscenes, like certain cutscenes and certain parts of the game
really
enforce a feeling of life to this reality, this world.
Yeah.
I like the mythology that starts to build out during the demo. You kind of like learn, oh, there are these altered, and that kind of represents like which character class you pick determines like what kind of altered you are.
I think. There's also a whole bunch of story like a little bit more because you just jump right through it. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter too much.
You
leave some mysterious. Long story short, is you get infected by that same
shit goes down. Yeah. You get thrown into a cryo chamber again.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, not even shit goes down. You get the same black goo on you that is killing everybody else. And you get, shocked by a lightning storm. There's some crazy lightning storm that comes through
It's called the anomaly.
Yeah, the anomaly.
That's what they call it. And it's like, it comes in storms. And most 99% of people just get fucking really murdered.
Oh, yeah,
like
straight
bad.
Up. Like melted like
intense,
from Mars attacks.
Like, their skin burns off and then their skeleton explodes.
Yeah.
Like super murdered. But then like a very, very tiny percent of humans, for some reason or another, get energized by it and gain these altered powers.
Yeah.
Basically like X-Men style. Yeah. Like everyone has different altered powers. There's like good people and bad people and like people in between. A lot of faction shit going on
in this
post-colonization apocalypse future.
You go straight from being like, man, I can't wait to colonize this new planet, to we shouldn't be here, to in the blink of an eye, it's like, oh, now 30
it's
years
like World
has passed.
War One.
And
it's like you're driving through the trenches of World War One, basically, to be sacrificed. It's fucking intense and jarring.
This is
just like the first biome, like, and that there's more like varied areas, because like you immediately get the quest of like you must find a way out of this valley.
Well, I mean, even before all that too, like the whole it is interesting what happens, because you're basically found by somebody who they're looking for something else, and they accidentally pull you out of cryo in the process of trying
like,
to figure out
go.
Find
I,
something.
Sorry.
Huh?
They're literally like, I gotta go. Sorry for leaving you to
die.
Like,
yeah, like they already know you're in a bad situation. So they like pull you out of cryo and you're like, what's happening? What happened to everybody?
I think the main character, your like created character, mm-hmm. Reacts pretty appropriately.
Oh, absolutely.
To, like, everything that's going on in a surprising way.
For the first,
I think that's
like,
something
five
Fallout
minutes,
4 did terribly.
Within the first 5 minutes, it makes sense. But then after that, you are so in line with everything. You're like, yeah,
I don't know.
Of course,
I feel like there's
planet.
A few
this
other.
Is totally normal.
Even some of like the side dialogue, like with some of the characters, you're like talking like, so what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Why the fuck is this going? What the fuck is that? And when characters finally give you the time of day to actually talk to them, which you can't for a while, they do kind of just launch you into this post-apocalypse future.
Yeah. Well, from there, though, then they do an excellent maneuver, too, where while you're, like, waking up with your seasickness, trying to figure out what the fuck happened to you, you basically get grabbed by one of these crazy factions, and they're like, all right,
basically,
well, we're going to play our favorite
Mad
game
Max.
Called Welcome to Hell, and then, like you said, they're driving you through World War II trenches where they're just murdering everybody. Like, it is just...
There's just, like, this massive...
Senseless violence.
War
on
a scale that's, like, unbelievable. Like,
it doesn't
cool.
make sense.
The idea of this giant battle zone, this, like, no man's land, is so cool, but... Instead of having a big open no man's land to explore, you kind of just go through it in like one of three paths, you know. That's what bothers me about the openness of this. And maybe it's just the first zone issue. I don't know. Maybe it's not something to be upset about, because it's not even this game's style. Like, not what they were going for.
I'm curious how much is going to be like, is this just for the demo? Like, are they changing anything between this and the game? Or are we literally just like, oh, when the game comes full release? Like, because I know it stays, like, you keep your progress. For anybody who's playing the demo, you do keep the progress. So I'm assuming, like, everybody's going to
experience
this.
The Outriders demo is available right now. You can go and download it for free
on the Steam
wherever.
Store. Least there, I'm sure probably other places as well. Is this out for everything too, like consoles, I'm assuming?
I don't know if there's a console exclusivity or anything like that, it's out on Steam.
Yeah, but but then the next part leads you into your real build where you end up getting tossed into no man's land because the anomaly's coming and everybody avoids the anomaly. But at this point, it's like 30 years in the future from when you went into hibernation. So everybody gets into these anomaly shelters where it just battens down the hatches and you're left in the middle of BF&E.
It's
immediately
cool scene.
While you're looking around, a big steel spike just goes blasting through your chest.
Rebar.
Yeah,
you
rebar.
Get rebarred.
And that was so funny because I'm playing it with Chris and I'm just like, well, I think I lost. I think my game's over already. But that's right there when it really opens up, and that's when you get to choose your anomaly power.
It's literally like, before you pull this rebar out of your chest, choose your class.
Yep.
Like, and it's like, now what that kind you're of altered, color
which
are your
kind
eyes
of altered do you want to be?
Yeah. And wait, but like, I think the classes are really, really cool.
You played Trickster, right?
I played Trickster, which is almost an exact replica of the Vanguard from Mass Effect 3, which is my favorite class in Mass Effect. I warp around, I can create time bubbles that slow down bullets and enemies in them. So I basically create a zone of super hot where if shit's getting too rough, I can just pop that zone up as a defense, or I can warp to enemies, pop up the zone, and then do this like psychic blade which burns off their skin and explodes them.
Yeah, like I said, from doing melee. It definitely
so
has a lot of those like Mars Attacks vibes where people just turn into skeletons and then fall over. It's very cool, but it's like I guess it never got old as much
it
as
gets
we played.
Extra cool when you know that this game uses DLSS to speed things up. I have such good performance with this, and I think a lot of that is because of DLSS.
Yeah. What? Did you play with anybody else, or did you just do the?
I only played by myself.
Okay. Well, Chris did the exact same class as you. I actually played the sniper class. What were your other abilities that you got, or was that that was pretty much all the ones that you unlocked?
Those are the ones I unlocked so far. Because
I think you can unlock like you get to what level 7 is max, and I think you get an total.
I didn't get
of,
to max level yet.
Okay, well, I think you get a total of 4 different abilities at least in the demo.
We should talk about all the 4 classes real quick.
Well,
just
that's exactly what I was
going to
do because I played the sniper class. So with the sniper class, it was very cool. Obviously, like, you prioritize, like, rifle-based attacks and stuff like that, and you kind of play from afar. One of your primaries is you basically kind of throw, like, a grenade, like, a damaging ability. Another one is you set up a turret, and the turret will, like, aggro anybody enemies, but it also shoots cryo bullets, so it will freeze enemies. So it's a lot of defensive
abilities. Yeah, there's a lot
of
status stuff going on. A lot of statuses being launched at each other's enemies and them throwing it at you, which I like. It adds that wrinkle to the moment-to-moment combat.
Yeah. And some of the other things, like there's another ability where what you get is you literally just launch like a barrage of rockets like directly in front of you. So it's like
the sniper
massive,
has that?
Yes. It's like massive close range damage, which is super weird. I think it's because a lot of like I'm very weak. Like
I'm very weak as well. Like, Trickster's pretty weak.
Exactly.
I have to either if I'm not in cover, I have to be punching. If I play it like Gears of War, it's not gonna work.
Exactly.
That's the thing. That's the point I forgot to make earlier. When this game starts out, and I'll get to what the other two classes in a second, but when this game starts out, it really looks and feels like a Gears of War game, where it even tells you, like, get behind cover and shoot from cover. But when I was doing that, I was not having a lot of success.
Yeah.
It's like the moment I broke from cover and just started running around, just fucking shit up, is when
and
the game
I think
got
a lot
way
of that
more
is
fun.
The class that you played, like, I think you have to play your class that way, because the other big mechanic of the game is the whole health system is based off of the damage you do. Every single character gains health based off of damage they deal with their class.
A
so, like, for
type
me,
of
being
damage,
like a range champ or a range person, every bit of damage I do comes back to me as health. Like you, Derek, think with you, isn't it like close range
melee.
Damage?
Yeah, it's melee attack.
Yeah,
so
melee
either my special or my normal melee, which is like a blue psionic bolt that blows up slows down enemies.
And I think tank, which is one of the other 4 classes, is very similar.
There's
a lot of close range.
They're all based on elements too. Like the tank one's like earth elemental, and you're basically like a big AoE tank zone master. And then
you're like lightning. Fire is the other one. Yeah. Fire is a mid-range. But I didn't
Fire's
play
the one
them,
I
so want I
to try out
abilities.
Next, if they're like a more of a caster straight up, because I think that'd be really cool. Trickster's awesome, super awesome, but very hectic.
Yeah.
When you're in the middle of shit alone, I want to try out the fire one. And I want to try them all, to be honest. Like, the classes are very fun, and Killing, shooting the moment to moment, I had a really good time with. It's nothing like new and groundbreaking, but that doesn't need, you know, the same way like Godfall wasn't new and groundbreaking, but it was still a really damn good time. And I think this could be that with a crew.
That seems fair.
And it isn't, I learned that it's not a live service apparently. Like it is a encapsulated game experience. So that's,
yeah,
that
so sounds
actually kind of cool to me.
Destiny's,
I don't know if
a live
I have
service,
time to,
right? Like where they're,
yes.
Yeah. No, but I'm sure it's set up like Mass Effect, because Mass Effect wasn't a live service either, but like they there was enough stuff to keep people wanting to play for hundreds of hours.
Like, right, there were enough weapons. Like, think of Diablo. Think of Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to like change the way I think about this game to think of it more in that direction. Like, mm-hmm. It's like a Diablo-y thing, not like a Destiny. This is not an Anthem game. This is not Warframe. This is just
right off the heels of the death of Anthem.
A different thing.
It's a lot to do right now, Derek. I can't believe you would do that.
But hey, I'm after playing this demo, I want to check out the other classes, honestly, and I'd love to play some more of
it. Now, I'm curious because I'm assuming this is probably just the demo, but like one of the big things is like replayability. So you just replay missions over and over again. Like I accidentally started one of the side quests over again because after we completed it and I went back, I noticed it was like, do the mission.
Yeah,
and I was
they said in the demo you can replay the side quests.
Okay, so
over
I'm curious
over.
If that's like just I hope it's not going to be that heavy-handed for the actual game because like I. Yeah. You know, I would burn out quickly
like
if I was doing these same
Destiny
missions
style.
Over and over. But like it too, it's so funny. There's so many. I have so many weird gripes with just like the story decisions and like the overall of the game. Like in the very beginning, like there's a little side quest that you do right away where you meet a. I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but you meet a dude literally named like Mr. Chang, and he's like, all right, welcome to Mr. Chang's Emporium. And then like 3 seconds later, somebody pops out and shoots him in the head. And then you like hold the person accountable for it. And it was like, man, I was like this, like I was already like interested to learn about this character and he's already dead. Like I was very interested to see where it would go. But and then the other part about it is like they're like, okay, well this leads you to a mission where it's right downstairs, and I'm like, wait, what? And it's like we're like fucking next door neighbors with what did I say? Like I think they even introduced them
the
as like
fire blasters,
like fucking child rapists and like torturers, and I'm like,
but they make drugs, Jesse. They make drugs and sell black market shit to the soldiers, so she tolerates them.
Oh, is that what it is? She tolerates.
That's what it is.
I missed that part because I was like,
she said she tolerates them because of their black market. The soldiers need the black market for entertainment, but we've tolerated them long enough or something along those lines. So get on there and fuck them all up.
Because I don't want to give too many. I mean, we've already given so many freaking details, but there's a lot of like very interesting, lovable characters that.
Jakob.
Yeah, Jakob, and I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but like a lot of this game stuck with me. Maybe it's a mix of like not having played a narrative game in a while, or
that could be.
I don't know, but like it was sticking with me. I know a lot about this game in the game world. I'm invested. At least a little bit mentally.
Did you play through all the main story missions? Like,
I don't think so. I don't think I've completed everything.
Like, I know you didn't do all the side quests, but I do think you may have done all the main story quests.
Yeah, and you got like the lightning guy.
Yeah.
Boss.
So then you did.
Yeah.
That was the last of the main story quests. But yeah, I mean, and it was definitely
that
interesting.
Was cool. That was a cool fight.
The world level, it is very Diablo-esque actually. Now that I think about it, because it does have like a world level mechanic
world
as well.
Yeah.
So like
level
as
up for every enemy you kill.
Yeah, like
you level
the,
it up a little bit.
Like I think even by the end of the demo, we were on like world difficulty 5. So the world. Yeah. The scaling of the world is based upon, but it unlocks as you progress too. So it's not just like, oh, start on like suicidal difficulty. It's just like, all right, well now you've unlocked world level 5. And of course, like the higher the level, the better the loot that drops. And so I don't know. It's very risk reward.
It seems like it also has a neat system of a timeline. So when you're playing co-op with people, whoever wants to play through their story can just switch to that to the timeline to that spot, and everyone
can
be brought
just, like,
to that.
He basically hosts then, like without having to like reform the party or anything.
Uh huh. Yeah. No need to reform, and like everything will scale around everyone's levels and stuff.
I think for my final opinions on it, like I don't think, I was not blown away by any means. I was not hooked in. I was not like, it wasn't like with Valheim. It wasn't something where I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to play more. I want to not go to work so that I can play this game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I played.
Was part of that because it was a demo, so you kind of knew it wasn't going to be a full experience?
Well,
so
no, I mean, because even by the time I finished it, I wasn't like, oh man, I can't wait till this comes out so I can see what the next mission is, or like, oh man, yeah, I can't wait to see what this specific, because like they have an enormous tree too. Like they're on top of like on top of like actually choosing, like getting your weapons and like kitting out your stuff, because of course there's, you know, all your armor pieces, like your boots and pants and the chest and helmet and gloves. Yep. Like, so on top of all of that, which also has like bonuses for specific abilities if you have them equipped, like then there's a whole nother ridiculous system of like take this, put a spec point in here to do 8% more damage with weapons. Put a spec point in here to have like 5% more health. Put a spec point here. And then it's these trees that just go. There's three different trees, but each one, and I'm not sure if it's one of those things where it's going to be like, oh, by the time you're done with the game, you can only have one of them fully maxed, or if by the time you're done with the game, you can have everything maxed all the way out.
Yeah, I am curious about that. I'm curious how big, how much game there is.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the thing is, even if you...
Is this a Destiny 1 situation where we're seeing, like, a quarter of the game?
In the demo? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would doubt that. I feel like this game is going to be very big, because as soon as you complete the last mission, it, like, plays another trailer that just shows a lot of content. So, like, it looks...
Does it show brighter biomes?
Yeah, that's like they show and other things. So like different factions. So like there's a lot of like monster-esque looking areas where instead of fighting humanoids, you're actually fighting like monsters. Or
Monsters University.
Monsters University. You got to fight Mike Wazowski. Mike Wazowski is actually what is that? Dorothy, when she goes to the, where does Dorothy go? There's like the green castle or the green palace or something with his
Oz.
The
Green Goblin lives there.
The Green Goblin lives behind the curtain and he says, "Don't
we
look
are
at me."
Who we choose to be?
Exactly. That's the one. He's the Green Gabble, and I think that's what happens. That Mike Wazowski is that hidden character. You have to fight. What's the other character's name?
Wow.
What is his name? What's Mike's
cohort's
name?
I don't know if we're
Max.
Talking about Monsters, Inc., The Wizard of Oz, or
we're talking about both. We're really talking about Monsters, Inc.
Gorge?
Who is his name? Sully. Sully. So you have to fight Sully the entire time. Like Sully tanks the fight, but he's unkillable, and the only reason is because you have to find Mike Wazowski and kill him. As soon as you kill Mike Wazowski, the whole fight's over, because he's the brains
Sully
of the operation.
Sully versus Sully. The Sully showdown.
The Sully Sullenberger showdown.
Sully Sullenberger versus Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm. And they both fly planes.
Only one of them knows how to fly, though.
Only one of them knows
Which
how to
one?
Land in the
Find
river.
Out
they both
on this
know how to fly, but only one of them
Battle
knows how to,
the
land.
Death. This week's Battle to the Death is brought to you by Thor, The Dark World. All right.
With the sour
Brad, Sully or Sully? Pick your team.
Sullenberg all the way. I mean, that man's a national hero.
And
never
cracks
under pressure.
Jesse, that means you're left with the Monsters, Inc. character, Sully. Everyone make your first move.
I get in the cockpit.
Okay. It's a pretty lame move. Brad, what do you got?
I deposit $4 million into American Airlines.
Ooh.
Dang, you just made bank. All right, Jesse, one more. This is your last turn.
This is my last turn. Well, my final move would be I take the black box out of Brad's plane.
How can you recover from this, Brad? This is your last move. You're rich.
The plane never left the ground, so it's okay.
Dang, technicality. Brad's the winner. I'm sorry. You do get to go home with the black box, though, Jesse.
I get two black boxes.
Brad also used his character's skills, whereas you just walked onto a plane as Sully the monster.
What
tried nothing about to scare.
He used his skills. He put money into a stock, and then he didn't do anything.
That was the money he got from the
last thing he said. He said, "I don't fly." You're telling me Sully Sullenberger doesn't fly and he wins the game?
That was a TV set. That was all Hollywood, man.
It was a fake.
That was Tom Hanks, dude.
Tom Brady.
Stay tuned next week for our next battle of characters. Hopefully, somebody.
You want to save the last bit of Valheim for next week?
Which I was going to say Valheim time.
Oh, well, you were just saying stay tuned. You were saying it sounded like.
Oh, I just meant stay tuned because we're going to battle more characters and maybe you're going to put up a fight, Jesse. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how I do next time. Next time when I realize I'm on Hollywood's greatest hits. They're set.
Hollywood's greatest hits, the fighting show. We see all the best hits.
Mm. What was that? What was that punches. Clay animation show that was Hollywood?
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah. Now that was a good show. Whatever happened to Celebrity Deathmatch? I want to see a 2020 version, a 2021 going. Version of that.
Oh, geez. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Valheim has taken the world by a continuing storm.
Yeah, 5 million players continues now, to right? roar.
5 million players, over 5 million. They're probably getting close to 6 at this point. There's no stopping it. It's a cascading event.
I hope
in our culture
that every single developer on that team is a millionaire now. I don't know how they couldn't be, but I hope that all their wildest dreams come true.
Minus 20%, minus 50%. Let's just say, of all costs, so extra costs,
$10 per game. And with over 5 million, 5
probably
million times 10.
A lot less
10,
than that, though, to
so
be honest.
A lot of millions. 50 million?
Still. But yes.
50
yes,
million between
a lot of
five. That's still 10 million apiece. Each one of those dudes has got 10 million bucks before taxes.
Yeah, and the hope would be that a lot of that is going
back
into the game.
What would you do
if
the first thing they did was add loot crates?
I don't see that happening.
That would never ever happen, not in a million years. But
they would need to change the entire
I know. I'm just joking, but I think
signals
I think to
with
PUBG,
just the way that they've released this game.
Well, you remember when
PUBG
came
servers.
Out and it like was amazing, and then it was like, are you guys going to use all the money you're getting to like improve your game? And they're like, no. Check out all these skins you can buy.
Yeah,
they're like,
that didn't
we're
going to
add
like
seasons. We're going to add loot crates. We're going to add keys. We're going to add like all they did was.
That's like a round-based competitive game, though. Like this is
yeah,
Valheim's
but that
different.
Game suffered severely from unoptimized.
Oh, totally.
You know, like
it still looks like what I would think of as a Unity game.
Yeah.
Like it to this day.
They could
I still
have done so much
like
more
that.
With their money, but I mean,
funky
I understand. Like
Unity
like,
game. Like, isn't that also what Valheim is running
yeah,
the engine
probably.
On?
I just mean the old derogative term.
Oh.
Where people would be because when you there's a time when you, every. Indie game was like just made out of Unity marketplace assets.
Mm-hmm.
So they all looked very similar and had like a similar kind of plasticky wonkiness. And so I think it's disparaging, but it shouldn't be because Unity is an incredible engine and makes beautiful games. But back then it just felt like Gary's Mod style. I don't even know. That's probably not even right anymore. God.
I know what you mean.
It's anyway. I mean it's Gary's Valheim. Mod. So you keep mentioning amazing games too though, and saying them in a negative connotation. You're like it's like a Gary's Mod, and it's like didn't everybody love that game? You're like it's like a Unity based game. Like, isn't Valheim on
the
Unity?
The term no longer applies. It's no longer disparaging to call something a Unity game like it used to be.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the same weight as it used to have.
Not at all, because you can make really beautiful stuff with it. Anyways,
it's a beautiful game Valheim. For beautiful people, all right?
Valheim continues. We've completed the current progression as far as like bosses
I have
down.
Not.
And we've plunged our world into madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brad is you're in mountain exploration mode, correct?
Correct. I'm trying to I want to tame some wolves, but it's becoming
you're full silver, right? You're silvered all the way to the brim.
I'm silvered from toe to tip.
nice.
Oh, pure silver, wolf, like Balthazar Gelt.
Wolf
silver
wolf
style.
Armor set, and then I've got the silver sword and shield, and I've got that sword. Draugr bow. I got all that armor maxed out. I would like to do the third boss? The fourth boss?
The fourth boss.
I need to unlock new crafting stuff.
Molder.
So yeah, you need to fight Mother. You gotta fight Molder.
Molder.
I can't say it without wanting to sound like...
I'm gonna do that tomorrow night, probably.
I would probably hop on to do Modair with you
great,
if you were interested.
I would totally
and, have an assistant, not any assistance, more or less having a
party
up.
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
I've been spending my days post boss completion building a new home for myself in the hills. I sailed around the world.
What biome are you in?
Meadows. I found
really?
Meadows. But sailing all around the world, it took probably 3 days of just literally just going to the edge of the world and then just taking that. I went straight east and then I went south along the edge of the world and just explored, and I got lost in hell.
Oh,
and
boy,
it was a nightmare. So if you see the gates of hell, if you see the Ashlands ahead, just turn around. Don't go. It is just, there's so
the
many sandbars.
Heart.
Sandbars with just fire spewing shitheads blasting fireballs at you from the shorelines. A lot of them die, a lot of them drown, but fireballs hurt a boat pretty bad, and there's really nowhere to go in the Ashlands, so it can be pretty rough. My recommendation, steer clear.
Yeah, I've been there. Sailed right off the edge of the fucking earth. You know what? I actually heard something today and saw it. If you use the console commands to run off of the edge of the earth with like free flight mode or whatever, and you keep running off the map, you get to another biome.
What?
A desert.
Like a new biome?
A desert-like biome. It seems to have the same skybox as the Ashlands, but it kind of has like a sandstormy type thing, and it's so hot there that you will die
music.
Over time. Unlike
oh
in
my
the Ashlands.
God. Too hot!
It's
yeah.
just Darude music the entire
and it's full
time,
of cert rooms just all over the landscape.
What?
Yeah.
I believe it.
That
and it's interactable.
Oh, I
believe it.
You can change the landscape and stuff. So it looks like there was some type of development on it to try and build an area unlike all
I
the
mean,
others.
I mean, this is just a thought, but I'm still thinking they want to add like five more bosses because
they are.
Like I feel
yeah,
like
you're adding nine bosses. Yeah, one for each biome including ocean.
Yeah.
So there'll be an ocean boss.
Oh.
Yes.
Then one for the Mistlands.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
it's funny because
release the Kraken, baby.
I think mentally, I just picture now, like even now when I go online, like I've tried looking up a few things, like I guess I can't think of anything in particular. Oh, I think more of just like best ways to max skills or something like that. If there was something I was missing, because like I didn't realize it until I saw a video, but the only way you actually increase your skills is if you're using stamina to do it. So like if you can run out of stamina and then just keep clicking and still doing the activity, but if you have no stamina while you're doing it, you're gonna gain nothing. So you can't just like hold the shift key and like AFK sprint into a wall to increase your sprinting because you're not using stamina, so you'll never increase your sprint. So, like, it
so
was interesting.
So you create a dojo around a stone.
But the thing is,
you can create a keyboard macro with a delay equal to the recharge
the
or stamina.
Milliseconds?
Yeah. But, like, the funny thing is, like, those aren't the posts, like, the videos. Like, people are just, like, posting this, like, optimized ways of everything, which is interesting.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's
of
funny because, like,
I mean,
I'm already picturing,
game.
Like, these biomes. I'm already just mentally visualizing where it's like, hey, when you're ready to fight the ocean boss, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to find a Kraken, and then you're going to want to build a platform. Like, if
chop down four fine wood tree trunks and then tie them together using the newly added rope.
I find that.
And then attach that.
What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to make sure you make as many rafts as you
weird
can.
Weird content because, like, most of my experience from Valheim has just been playing through it and discovering things as I go. And, like, that is
it's counter to that, like, completely. Oh my gosh.
It's fun. I did see a video for a boar dispenser, which I thought was hilarious.
I would like
to try and build it, but the way I'd have to do it is basically follow a tutorial on YouTube. I don't know if I have the patience for that. But it basically, you put two boars up in a tower high enough so they're not restricted to breeding by other boars near them. And when they have a baby, they'll automatically push it out and it falls into a pen below. And you can fill the
down
pen
baby shoot
with boars, and there isn't a limit because the two breeders are up high enough, so they're not affected by the radius of the other boars.
There with an at gear.
Oh, I thought it was gonna go even further and be like, and then you put spikes in there, so whenever the boars land, they just immediately die and turn into meat, and then you just walk.
You want them to grow up, Jesse.
Huh? But it'd be interesting if you put spikes on the ceiling, so if the boars got full enough, they would, like, automatically die from...
Yeah, big piglets only. If you grow up, it's like fucking, what was that one movie? Where they have to die at 30.
Time.
Never mind.
Starring, starring that
no, not the Justin Timberlake
Insect
film.
The animals...
No, it was like in the 80s.
Oh.
The Fly.
You are talking about the Justin Timberlake one when he has like time is currency? No. Time?
Not in time.
It's called time.
Yeah.
It's called In Time, right?
I want to watch that movie. I've never seen it, but it looks fucking rad.
Oh my god. It was actually that movie In Time was pretty good, I gotta be honest.
Okay.
I never saw it actually. That was
I remember it just
one
the
of the weirdest ones
was
that I never saw.
Everybody watch it, man. And we'll talk about it next week.
I would like to know how it ends.
I want to know
what happens to Justin Timberlake.
Logan's Run.
Logan's you. Yes.
Logan,
he's
Logan
always
you.
Running. That's right.
He's always running.
I remember that now. It's not... I didn't like that movie.
It's not a good movie, no.
He's just
back then,
running.
People didn't have a lot of variety to their entertainment, so they really attached themselves and their personalities to some pretty crappy stuff. Like, the old Transformers cartoon really sucks. Sorry to say. Like, G.I. Joe is not a good show. It's just like, it's almost like a museum piece at this point to see it.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, how is that entertainment? How are people that thick? Like,
pork
things need to be directly
sandwiches.
Explained to the viewer.
Get out!
Anyway, this has been Games on Earth. Valheim continues to be awesome. I'll keep playing that probably this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But you, Jesse and Brad?
I've finished my Valheim. I don't know that I'm not saying that I'll never... I'm definitely not saying I'll never come back, but I don't know. Depending on what they plan for their release will determine what I actually plan to do. So if they do one of those situations where, like, oh, we've added one new boss, then I will come back and play it for the one new boss. But if they do it where, like Outlanders is doing, or Outriders, where it's like, hey, here's a taste of the game, we're gonna let you know, like, next time you get a taste, it's gonna be the whole fucking thing. Like, depending on how they release it will depend on how I'm gonna play it. So if
it's likely going to be in piecemeal, biome by biome.
You think so?
Just because
I'll probably
smaller team,
then I'll probably come back
easier.
And play it with the next biome.
2021?
And I'm not saying, like,
Seems to be, if they keep with pace about what they're talking about, there'll probably be an update on average around every 2.5 months.
So that's not bad. So, but I think for now I've kind of reached...
Like the evergreen side of the game doesn't really interest you.
But that's the thing. Like, I constantly, I want to be doing an activity that is going to further me. Now, of course, like, yes, I can still, like, upgrade my skills. The other thing, have they talked about, are they planning on, when the game goes full release, are they going to wipe the servers? Like, is it...
I don't think so. It's not, your character's not based on a server. Your character is eternal.
So you don't think that they're going to ever going to start you from scratch?
I think people would be very upset.
I don't see something
that they would add. The one thing I could see is needing like a new seed because there's new biomes that need to generate.
Uh-huh.
But as far as your own characters go, and like,
so the only thing we'd be able like to transfer with a new seed then would be our skills, but we'd still have to do the
and
full
whatever's
progression
on our backs. Fill up your inventory. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's not necessarily
curious.
Going to happen.
I don't
happen,
know if they had mentioned anything or not, but I just know like with a lot of other games, like of course they wipe everything you've done. Like
that is something that games do a lot of times when they're a lot earlier in like, I guess this is the beginning of early access.
I mean, this is early. But this game is a very polished,
is a lot more done
game
than most of those games typically are. Yeah. It's a lot more here.
Yeah. It is
a 5 million people who would be very upset if they suddenly lost everything when they woke up one day.
Yeah.
So they have the pressure of a audience now.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess,
but that doesn't mean
we'll
shit.
Get to
people are still gonna love them no matter
they
what.
Thread the needle there. Well.
And even then, like even if you get to keep your character, but you have to reset your lands, that wouldn't be as bad to be like, oh well, look, I've still got all my crazy skill progression that I had from my 150 hours of gameplay. And you're like, I'll just have to kind of fight all the bosses again, which I'd be totally fine with. I would be fine with all of that, you know, like doing the progression again from scratch. But as far as the day-to-day goes, it's like I got into this pattern of like, okay, well, I need to farm and gather these resources so that I can have as much like high-end food as possible. And now I've got like a chest that is just teeming with all of the best food that I could probably play the game for 2 to 3 days straight without having to make more. And it's like, all right, well, there's nothing else to really go get. I've got like the weapons I want. I've got the armor I want. Everything's maxed out. I've already made a couple bases. Like I've, you know what I mean? Like outside of like trying to like Frank Lloyd Wright the game at this point, where I want to just like make as many interesting sculptures as I can, like those guys who made a fucking wooden Millennium Falcon, you know, then it's,
yeah, I don't know. I just feel differently, I guess, just because me it's like,
yeah, and I'm not saying it's bad at all. No, I'm not naysaying the game. This is the best $20 I've ever spent probably in my life. Without a doubt, like I have nothing but joy for this game, and I would honestly enjoy playing it again probably just as much as I did beforehand. But I think just value wise, I feel like I'd probably try like to experience a new game. And I'm getting way heavy into League of Legends. I've been playing like League of Legends every single day now. This is the year that Tim and I want to get gold. We want to get gold.
I feel
gold.
Like a weight has lifted off my shoulders ever since we beat the final boss. Like the pressure of progression has ended. Now I can just relax
now
and
you can
like
just play. It's slow like play it's like the game. In that episode of South Park, the World of Warcraft episode where they just grind on boars until they like can fight the final boss, and then when they kill him they're like, "Now what do we do?" And they're like, "Now we play the game."
Like,
that is exactly.
I need to still kill the last two bosses so I can finally play the game.
Well, that's
even though I have 168 hours or whatever spent in this
I'm
game
past
already,
250 now, which is a lot for me.
Yeah,
that's Jesus.
It's as much fun it's as one so boy fun. Can have.
So, you're just playing a lot of League, a lot of Dota,
yeah,
Jesse?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of League of Dota, and I've been considering, I don't know why, but I have this weird mental about, like, not starting a new game, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know what it is that's, like, preventing me from doing it, but for some reason, I just, like, can't
Gamer's
draw
block.
The urge to start that Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Like, that was one of the next games on my plate of things to play. I also downloaded Rage 2, which is a game I always wanted to play because it was free on the Epic Game Store. So I've got that installed for free. Like, that's something I wanted
about
to play.
About 1 year ago, I played that and talked about it on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you want to...
And I looked at it and I'm like, dude, this looks like exactly like a game that I would want to play. Like, this has got...
It definitely seems like something you could blast through.
Yeah.
And have a great
literally
time.
Literally. And figuratively.
I don't... so many... This and to bring this back to Outriders, I'm so sick of the post-apocalypse trash dust space and psychos, air quotes, who are just like fucking crazy dudes with guns who are just screaming and painting themselves and they got tons of piercings and they love fucking barbed wire for some reason,
and
even though it hurts.
And you're like, man, this is as crazy as it could be. And they're like,
it's
yeah,
like,
we're
where
fucking
do all these
crazy
people, how do they have the food enough to be this spunky? And is it just fucking drugs?
Well, yeah.
If that case, they're a bunch of tweakers.
Earth is,
how
Earth
are they going to put up
you
such
know
a
who
fight?
Killed it? We did.
I don't know. It's just there's something unbelievable about that genre of enemy
Earth,
type.
Earth
I feel like
is
it
dead.
Would just implode on itself so often.
You know who killed it?
Collective media over the past multiple.
Yes, it was
decades?
Media. It was the media, specifically the media. It was all media sources. It was Bloomberg that did it.
I just mean like movies and shit and games. Borderlands did it.
Borderlands
did
it.
That's the thing.
You know
that's
happened?
What it is.
Everybody watched that brand new Mila Jovovich movie, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, I'm excited to. Is it streaming anywhere for rent?
Dude, it is. I'm pretty sure it's like on YouTube. I think it's literally streaming on YouTube.
Monster Hunter.
Here. If you go to Monster Hunter, it's literally on YouTube. You don't even have to type
in Monster
Hunter.
I will be watching that this weekend.
Recommended for you, buy
or
rent. That's
a great watch.
An hour and 43 minutes and 7
seconds. I heard
it was
awful. All right,
everybody. We'll
Wait,
watch Monster
is,
Hunter and talk
Godzilla
about it next week.
Is Godzilla King of the Monsters out? Or
yes.
Oh, that's not the new one. That's not the one where he fights.
We're gonna have a Films on Earth next week about Monster Hunter.
I think
Hunter.
That one actually comes out at the end of March.
Does that sound like a good idea?
What's happening?
Talk about Monster Hunter on next week's podcast.
The Monster Hunter movie.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. Okay, let's all watch it and talk. We'll talk about it next week, everybody. Thanks real much for listening. Jesse, take us out by
also
telling
watch
me about
time.
Your greatest.
Also watch Time, because we need to talk about that next week, too.
Sorry, Jesse.
Talk about Time. It's Tim Time. Now, what am
all right, Jesse, tell me about your favorite time travel movie.
My favorite time travel movie?
Or book.
I can't really think of a lot of time travel movies. I remember watching one a long time ago, which it was super weird. I remember at the time I thought it was such an interesting movie, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to jog enough people's memories with the details of this that they might be like, oh my god, I feel like I remember seeing that once. But it was like this story of this family, and it was, you know, a mother and a father and a young child, and what happened was...
Really
like
cutting it down there, Jesse.
Hey, I'm getting there. You got to give me some time to work. And but I think the father was a firefighter, and I think he, like, died in a fire. But then his son grew up to become a firefighter, and then when his son was listening to the radio, he could hear his father's voice through the radio. And then somehow he was able to, like he was on some other sort of, like universe timeline, and he was able to somehow connect with his father through this old school radio. And I think in the end of the movie he ended up like meeting his dad. Like I don't remember. Let's firefighter time travel movie. It's called Frequency, which even makes more sense because of the radio. So yeah, it's a 2000 American science fiction thriller drama film starring Dennis Quaid and Jim Caviezel. Yeah.
It's a real shame that Quaid did the time travel just before 9/11.
Yeah, a real shame. But I do love that I was able to type in firefighter time and it immediately auto-filled to firefighter time travel movie. I love the internet is such a fantastic place to just be like, I think I remember seeing a movie about a firefighter who died and then his son talks to him through a radio. And it's like, oh yeah, it was the movie Frequency that came out in 2000.
Oh, man.
Well, so that's another movie. So after you finish watching Time and finish watching the new Monster Hunter, make sure you go and watch Frequency.
Isn't it called In Time?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine would probably actually be my favorite time travel movie.
First one.
They made a sequel?
Yeah.
Really?
Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I'm not even joking. Yes.
Aww.
It came out in 2015.
Oh, it has the same cast too.
Yeah, it's everybody. It's the same. It's a sequel. It was. I'm surprised you haven't seen it 8 times by now, Jesse.
Well, because I only watch these movies when they're like free to play, and this wasn't free to play. I forgot they did switch out one of the guys because what's his, I can't even think of what the hell that guy's name is. We're getting way lost now.
I know who you're talking about. The guy from High Fidelity and John Cusack.
Yeah, there you go, Mr. Sack.
John Cusack is not in it. No, but I feel like the other people.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, everybody else is still in it.
It's not terrible, but it's like it's definitely not as novel as the first one.
They definitely
it just explores more
time travel shit. They replaced him with that very lovable character from everybody's favorite TV show with Leslie Knope. Ben, the mayor.
The boy mayor?
Yeah, Ben the boy mayor.
Ben Wyatt, the boy mayor.
Yeah.
Ice King.
I can't even think of his actual name.
Okay.
Derek, keep helping me. Who is it?
Oh my god.
Who is the man who plays...
Who is Ben Wyatt? Use your fabled internet powers.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Who plays Ben Wyatt? Who plays Ben Wyatt's sister? Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Yeah. Man, have you guys ever tried this thing called Google out?
You should keep using it.
I am, dude. I'm learning so much. I can't now. I just wish I could think of like other old movies that I had seen before, and I was like, man, this is pretty good at the time. You know, you get what I am saying.
What's the time travel movie with the boy who gets abducted by aliens in a spacecraft and he travels across the universe, and when he comes back he's still a boy and everybody else has gotten older by like 40 years.
Oh my god, I feel like I do remember that is an old fucking movie. I do not remember.
Boy comes back to aged Earth.
Well, I typed in space-time travel boy, and then the autofill says names, so it wants me to look up space-time travel boy names.
Just in case.
I want to have a space-time travel
boy. In case you're pregnant with a space-time boy.
Was the one...
Forgot to put movie in there.
Or if you adopt a movie. Space-time boy.
Last one. While Brad's looking up this, Derek, we're going to test your memory. What was the name of that movie where that, like, it was like a set, basically a set of alien armor that, like, crashed on Earth and this little boy found it and he was like, no, I'm super strong. And it just looked like a metal exoskeleton of, like, a human muscular system. And I remember he, like, couldn't go to the bathroom in it and he couldn't eat food in it. So he was like, I need a hamburger. And the thing, like, he would eat a hamburger and it would chew it up in the thing's mouth and then it would make like
Starkid!
Yeah, and it made like a hamburger
the
ball.
The worst, most horrifying robot looking kid movie.
I told you.
His suit is a nightmare.
I told
a
you, it
living,
literally looked like
breathing
a humanoid.
Nightmare.
It looked like the muscular like system of a, like anatomically correct muscular system of a human.
Oh my god. We should just change this whole podcast format to just talk about
Starkid.
Random things like Stark did for
Yeah, there it is. There's that hideous alien monster.
Look at that hideous butthead.
The Warrior of Waverly
Flight
Street.
Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, there
the
you
Navigator.
Go.
I found it.
That
movie
hold
movie kid gets abducted by spaceship and travels to future.
You know,
that's not the one with all the geese, is it?
I will say, you can tell that this movie did well because one of their shining things is on the DVD cover here. They got a 3-star review from Roger Ebert, and they put that on there like, what a good fucking movie. It got 3 stars.
3 stars.
That's like,
it's
better than failing.
Almost. Almost great.
That's what it says here.
Almost a great movie.
It says here at the very bottom in parentheses, it says Roger Ebert accidentally watched this and fell asleep and gave it 3 stars.
Somehow.
Yeah, Stark
that's
his some, nightmarish take on superheroes
was
ahead of its time.
Talking about there. Do you remember
did
this
you
one?
It?
Oh, God.
Well, let's see. Oh, man. There it is! Yep, I do remember that, because I remember his weird little alien friends. The ones that are, like, all over him.
Ugh.
Derek, it was a Walt Disney movie. Do you want to come along? What did it say? Come along on the greatest adventure of this summer?
Which summer was that? Summer of 86.
2 years
I
before
wasn't
I
around.
Was born.
Yeah, I wasn't around. I wasn't going to enjoy that summer.
Anybody remember Star Kid? Well, this is what he looks like now. Feel old yet?